There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his. And he is mine. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. Amen. Thanks, Andy. I've asked Sam to share something of his testimony with us, but before we do, has anybody not seen this film? Who would like to borrow this film? Hands up. Yeah. Oh, hang on. We've got a few people with their hands up there. We're going to start with Karen. Sorry. It's awesome, that. Okay. Oh. Yeah, okay, so but just pass it around because it is fantastic. I've asked Sam to come and share his testimony. I put him on at the beginning just in case he takes 2 hours and then that just means I don't have to preach, which is fine. But he's going to share because do you know what? We on a day when we think about the resurrection of Christ, then why shouldn't we talk about life itself and how awesome that is? I'd encourage you. If you're not a Christian this morning, there's some little leaflets. Can I borrow that, please, Becky? That little leaflet there. Okay, there's some of the proof for the resurrection, but just underneath there, there's a fantastic connection to a website there where it talks about thinking about Christianity. And it's by a guy who's a professor over in America. It's worth having a look at. Just have a look at it and just get yourself convinced or dismiss it. But don't be ignorant. Just have a look and see what the claims of the gospel. Because do you know what? Jesus Christ doesn't need me to justify him. Just start looking into it. And you will find for yourself the joy that we've got. Thanks, Sam. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we need that. Sorry.
Morning. Mike's asked me to share some of my testimony. He said 5 minutes. I'll try and be as quick as I can. But you know, my testimony is no better than anybody else's. You know, a life transformed, a life that comes to know our Savior Jesus is just the same as anybody else's. It's the same transformation. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God and we all are citizens of heaven when we come to a relationship with him. But I suppose some of my testimony is remarkable, I suppose, in the process. So few people in the church have watched me go through that full testimony from tiny to where I am now. They've seen that unfold. And some of you don't really know me, so I won't start right at the beginning and where I am now. But, you know, I was brought up in this church, which is such a blessing. But, you know, as soon as I was old enough, I wasn't interested anymore. I wanted to go off with my mates, and I was a pretty naive lad. And just want to explore the things of the world, you know, and just wanted to be one of the cool kids. So, you know, I was smoking and whatever, you know, it was a really, really silly age, you know, I must have been 13 maybe when I was smoking and then straight into smoking weed because that was just another ciggy, but this one made you feel funny, you know, and that was a great laugh, that one. But that became a habit then of an everyday thing because smoking weed was fun then. And it was kind of, well, what else is there? So as I grew up and experimented, I became really involved in that scene from selling drugs to taking drugs. And really the club life was what I was all about, living for the weekend, getting absolutely as wrecked as I possibly could. And, you know, you become sort of used to it. So you sort of take more and you want more and you try different things. And have some starts off, all starts fun and games, you know, all starts fun, but soon the bad experiences start to happen until I suppose it got to one day. I think it was when I reflect back, it was maybe my 21st birthday. Really went to town, you know, and took way too many drugs. And that was like a pivotal moment in my life because I actually thought I was going to die. So I won't tell you just how much I took, but I took a lot, which would probably wipe out a horse, you know. But yeah, so and I remember sitting there just completely losing control of all my body and uncontrollably losing consciousness. But I remember clearly thinking, this is it, I'm dead. You know, it's game over. And the fear that came with that was just overwhelming. And thank God for the seeds that had been sown into my heart, because I cried out and said, God, give me a second chance. If you give me a second chance, I'll give my life to you. And you know, that if anyone says they're not scared of death, then they're lying. You know, and it says that in the Bible as well, you know, because it was the scariest thing I've ever experienced. You know, there's times when I've had bad times, but this moment was, I can't emphasize how scared I was. I thought that I'm only going one or two ways here. It's either heaven or it's hell, you know, and I'm definitely not going to heaven the way I've been cracking on. So yeah, obviously I didn't die. And from that point, in case you didn't gather that, but from that point, you know, it wasn't just like I did drop all the really hard drugs, found it really hard to stop smoking pot, but started to come to church, asking questions. But really, it was in my heart, was a real, you know, it's when you come with a humble heart is when you can really find God. When all your pride and all your, when you've got nothing else to sort of depend on, nothing else to rely on, and you're just like, God, I'm going to give you a chance, that's when you'll really come to know God. And I was doing that, and I said, God, I'm really going to give you a chance here. I'm going to really be open-minded and give it a go. So I started going to church and come back to OCF as you would. And then try and cut this story a bit short. You know, God really had his hand on my life. And when I reflect back, he's always had his hand on my life. I can think of many situations where God's just been there and I've not even known it. But as I started to open my heart to him, the leaders of the church at that time had gone to Romania to find a church to link up with, so they could sort of do relational work with a church here in Romania and support the community. So a few of the elders, Dave, Trev, and who's the other one? Me dad. They were out there. And anyway, they were visiting a few churches, weren't they? Weren't you? And they were sat there, and they'd gone to a church. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I've told this story that many times. I wonder if it's been like a fisherman's tale, you know, and I've started to like elaborate a little bit. I hope not, because, you know, the testimony needs to be sound, and there's no exaggeration in it. But yeah, so the elders had gone to visit this church, and there was a guest speaker. He was a guest speaker, wasn't he? Because he was a sort of like a wonder, if you like him. When I've met him, like a John the Baptist, going from church to church, preaching, and he was a prophet. And he was there preaching away, and Dave and that was sat on this bench with a translator. And he was preaching away, and then he was prophesying to the church. And this, like, I suppose uneducated man, doesn't speak English, begins to prophesy to Dave, my dad, and Trev about me. And basically speaks in English to Dave, so they don't need the translator anymore. So obviously he didn't even know what he's saying, you know. But God spoke through him to Dave, chose Dave. Because he's a legend. God knows. And he basically really specifically prophesied to Dave about me. He's saying, you know, a man back at home called Sam, and he's going to give his life to God, and he's going to do great things for God. Yeah, amen. And you're going to be really pivotal in my journey, in my conversion. And he's going to come and speak to you. And he's going to speak to you like three times. And, you know, and explained it all to Dave really specifically of what was going to happen. And I think these were just like jaw drop sort of moments. And obviously they came, oh, there's more to it. Let me not forget some key points. And he said the third time, I think, when you come and he comes to speak to you, Dave, is the time when he's going to give his life to God. That's going to be the moment. And it's going to be really emotional, and there'll be tears. And also your woman back at home will get her healing, which obviously meant his wife, Chris. So Chris has suffered with a bad back for a long time, and that was the prophecy there and then. So Dave and that obviously couldn't wait to get back and tell me. Now, someone who's just come from where I was to just coming into church, that was a little bit like, okay, whatever sort of thing. I didn't even really know what prophecy was, really. And, I listened, took that in, but didn't really think it through. And then probably over the course of 6 months or so, if I can remember rightly, obviously these things unfolded, unconscious to me. You know, it wasn't something I was trying to work out. Like, oh, I'll go and speak to Dave for the first time and ask some questions about the sermon and whatnot. But lo and behold, it all came to pass. So the third time was a time, I can't remember who was preaching, to be honest, now. But there was an opportunity to come to the front to get prayed for, to offer your life to Christ. And I was like, that's it. I'm making a decision. I know enough now. I don't know, have all the answers. But I just, God, I want to give you that chance. So I made that step of faith forward. And I said, God, there I am. And Dave, obviously buzzing, comes over to pray for me. And it was a really emotional time. And it's, God has touched me in amazing ways. I've experienced feelings off drugs, which give you elation and euphoria. And, different, they are good feelings when you do it, but nothing compares to what the feeling you get when God touches you, and the emotion on that occasion wasn't even happiness or sadness. I can just remember it was just emotion, and, I just knew tears were flowing down my face, a bit self-conscious because Dave's praying for me, so it's like, Dave's crying as well. That's okay then. And then made that commitment there and then, and forever I am changed. And afterwards, Dave explained to me, do you realize what's happened? And I was like, well, yeah, give my life to God. And he's, no, the prophecy and this happened, that happened. And Dave was completely aware, thank God, and explained it all to me. And literally as he was telling me, I can remember the goosebumps on my arms, just like, wow, because this is my testimony. No one can take it away. No one can change it. I experienced it. It's my testimony. The Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John, that's their testimony. This is my testimony, and you can't change it because it's truth. I'm not making it up. And at that time, the wonderful Adrienne had gone to pray, just feeling prompted by God to pray for Chris as I'd gone up to be converted, to give my life to God. And Chris got healed. So Chris came over to me, thank you so much for giving your life to God because I've been healed, which was amazing. That was sort of the conversion, but that is amazing. But my real testimony is not just that moment, is the life after compared to the life before. And that transformation, what happened on that day, I became a citizen of heaven. The Holy Spirit came to live in me and my life was transformed once and forever, never to be the same again. And along that journey of something like 15 years now, I can't remember how long it's been, but people remember their birthday and it's good, but I can't remember exactly the day and time. But over that journey, it has been a journey and God's never finished with me. God's never finished with you. And it doesn't matter how far you fail, how far you fall or stumble or get it wrong, God is always faithful. God is always loving. God is always gracious. And the enemy wants to steal all those lies we've sung about today and make you think that he's a judgmental God, that you can't be forgiven, that you've gone too far, that you've messed up again. But I have messed up so many times in my walk. And never, ever once has God ever beat me over the brow and told me, you're rubbish. He quite easily could have said, you know what, Sam, that is the umpteenth time and I am sick of you. Judgment, he could have quite easily, but he never has. And I can testify to a good, loving, faithful God who will always be there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No one can pluck you from his hand. My name is written in his book and I am there forever. And he is my hope. He is my rock. I will always stand on him. When everything in this world falls apart, when everything's stripped away, when everything decays, when people leave me, whatever, God will always stand faithful for me. And I can always stand on his word and his truth and his hope. And that hope in my life can never be taken away because I know it. And it's what I live for and it's who I depend on. And, if you don't know God, just give him that free, that chance to just give him that chance. Just humble yourself. A broken and contrite heart, that's the sacrifice that God can accept. Just ask God to search your heart, search your heart, and just reveal your heart. Let him reveal your heart to you. He doesn't do it in a way where he wants to sort of expose you. He wants to do it in a way where he wants to bring you into wholeness until that day where we're made perfect with him and we stand in his righteousness. And, I just can't. I can't sell it enough. I live it and I want to. I can truly say today that I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe, not just for the Jew, but for the Gentile. That's for us. It's the power of God, the gospel. And that, this is the gospel. And God has saved me, and I'm going to heaven with him because he died on the cross and he rose again. And you know, forever, that's that, sorted, job done. Okay, don't think that was 5 minutes, but there you go.
You know, Sam is an inspiration to me, and as is every person in this church. I look at people in this church, and I just get inspired. I really do, and it's amazing. And the message of the resurrection was there. God has not finished with you. You think it's all over. You know, the disciples there at the cross saw him die. And 3 days later, they thought it was all over. 3 days later, he comes back from the dead. That's impossible, isn't it? Isn't that impossible? That's impossible. 3 days later, he comes back from the dead. They think it's all over. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 says this: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has risen from the dead. And last week, Tom was talking to us about the act of faith of Jesus on the cross, for the hope set before him, for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, and the joy was you and it was me, and the joy was the salvation of the whole world. He was desperate and hungry for the whole world to come to know Jesus Christ. I love the fact that Andy gets out there and he tells people about that. And do you know what? It isn't just for Andy to do, but it's for every single one of us to do. I love going out and healing on the streets, and it's for all of us in our workplaces, wherever we are, because Jesus was hungry for you and me to come to know him, for the whole world to come into that relationship. And this impossible act by God of resurrection of his son from the dead makes everything else possible. Makes everything else possible. If God the Holy Spirit can bring someone back from the dead after 3 days, then everything else is surely possible for him in our lives. This is the joy and the power. I mean, I gave my life 30 years ago, And I think what happened to me was, and I've said this many times, and I kind of only really understood it last night when Adrian was praying with me, but I moved from knowing about God, because I knew a lot about God. You know, I'd grown up in the church, and in school I did RE, failed my A-level. That was a word from God. But I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know God. And for me, it was about that. And maybe it's that I'd hidden inside that shell. I just didn't want anybody to come in and just damage me. I didn't want anybody to come in and criticize me. I didn't want anybody to come in and judge me, least of all, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I knew a lot about him. But, you know, when you make that bold step of, Lord, I want to know you. And that's what I did. And I've seen that resurrection proven again and again in Sam's life and other people's life. Just recently, Dave sent an email to me from a guy who's coming to speak at Christ Church on the 4th of July. A guy called Simon Guillebaud, who does mission work out in Burundi. And he reports this recent story. A mother started weeping hysterically as her 7-year-old son was pronounced dead by the doctor, who proceeded to cover his body with a sheet. Hearing her cries, a member of our heart, I'm quite emotional this morning, I don't know what's wrong with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's okay though, isn't it? Hearing her cries, a member of our Harvest Initiatives team was seized with boldness and compassion. Praise God, people like that. Doesn't mean he wasn't scared. Doesn't mean he wasn't afraid. Doesn't mean he didn't think he wasn't going to get rejected. Seized with boldness and compassion, he rushed in and prayed over the corpse. The boy came back to life, and 41 people gave their lives to the Lord on the spot. And if you kind of think, oh, it's not possible, we'll go and speak to Simon Gillibord. He's here on the 4th of July up at Christchurch. God is a powerful God, and the resurrection does not stop at the resurrection. The resurrection continues through you and me. We live resurrection lives, and sometimes we live half a resurrection. And God says, no, I want you to live a full resurrection. There is power in the name of Jesus. For those who accept Jesus as Lord, then death has no sting anymore. The sting of death is sin and all the consequences it brings of being separated from relationship with Almighty God, who loves us, deeply and desperately loves us, to meet us at our point of need. The death and resurrection of Christ remove the sting. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talking. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. But of power. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. James chapter 2, verse 17. The resurrection is a demonstration of God's power. And a message of his intention that he can bring life. And he wants to bring life. If Jesus had just simply died and there was no resurrection, then we would be left with a whole lot of great stories, some amazing healing stories, some great moral teaching. And we could line him up with Gandhi and Paul McKenna and John Lennon and Winston Churchill and Princess Diana and anybody else you look up to. Nor is Christianity a self-help program like the third order of the solar eclipse or whatever sect there is. There's amazing cults out there. You Google some of them. They are amazing. If Jesus had simply died, we could line him up with all these people and say, take your choice. They choose Jesus. I choose the Bowls Club. They choose Jesus. I choose Preston North End. They choose Jesus. I choose Princess Diana. I choose Pilates. I choose sport and fitness. But God blew our minds when he raised Jesus from the dead. On the third day, he raised Jesus from the dead. Come on. The resurrection was God's wake-up call to the world. It cannot be ignored. You can't ignore it. I don't understand how anybody can ignore it. And we are called to point to the empty tomb and to announce the power of the death and the resurrection to the whole world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My message and my preaching, says Paul, were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Adrian likes to give me facts every now and again. She's a bit geeky. And as Sarah knows, a bit of a geography geek. She's a bit of a geek in many ways. And one of her facts was this just recently. Apparently, 23% of Christians do not believe the resurrection happened. Now, I hate to burst their bubble, but they're not Christians, okay? They're not Christians. So let's just discount them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 says this. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. I love that. You don't get more blunt than that, do you? He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But Christ, Paul says, has indeed been raised from the dead. And the reason people don't like the resurrection isn't because of science or physics or biology or common sense, but because of the demand it places on our lives if we accept it. If we say yes to that, then we say yes to a whole lot more. The fear we have is that accepting the resurrection will change our comfortable lives and make demands on us that we don't want to accept. We are not willing to give up control of our lives and allow God to take over. The worst song that was ever written, my most hated and despised song of all time, I did it my way. Do you know, it's one of those songs that is chosen at so many funerals, I cannot stand it, because it's an admission of failure. Because I don't want to do it my way. If I've done it my way, I failed. I want to do it God's way. Say, God, get rid of my way. I want to do it God's way. God's way. God. If I'm doing it my way, then I know that something's going to happen, which is just not going to be what I want for my life. But we have to die to my way. We have to give up my way. We have to stop doing my way all the time. Resurrection is only possible if we are totally dead. Totally dead. You can't be half dead and be resurrected, because that's called resuscitation. And I don't think we need a massive celebration that someone was resuscitated 2,000 years ago. But there are some people who call themselves Christians who are still clinging on to old life, to the my way, and who aren't fully dead yet to what used to be. If we follow the laws of one kingdom, we cannot get the benefits of another kingdom. If we choose to live our lives limited by the laws of earth, then we won't receive the joys of the unlimited resources of heaven. I had a picture for somebody in my family a while ago, and I think it's relevant now, and it's a picture which I know has been used before, but I just felt it's relevant for some people here, and it was this of a plug, and a plug halfway in. You might just as well not have a plug at all. A plug halfway in has no power running through it at all. The plug needs to be right in. You can't be half dead. You can't be half in if you want to know the full power of the kingdom of God. We need to fully die to the self-centered Adam in our lives so we can fully live to the God-centered Holy Spirit who lives within us. I love these verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, and onwards says this. Paul says, his incomparably great power, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may see his incomparably great power for us who believe, for us who believe. Not just for Jesus when he rose, not just for the apostles, but for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And there's more to that. I mean, I want to read out the whole thing, but it's absolutely awesome. Read through Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus did not raise himself. Romans 8. Jesus didn't, you know, you can't do that. If you're dead, fully dead, you can't raise yourself. Because if Jesus raised himself, that means he's a little bit alive. He did not raise himself from the dead. It tells us that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Raised him from the dead. That Holy Spirit that wants to live in you like a river. He wants to flow through you. John chapter 7, Jesus says this, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, wants to flow through us. Ezekiel 47 verse 9, where the river flows, everything will live. So when we allow the river of God to flow through us, wherever you go, whether it's on the streets or in your workplaces or Tesco's, or Seven Stars Primary School, or Southport Hospital, or wherever you go, the river flows and the presence of God changes the geography and the environment of where you are. Because it's no longer just you there, it's the presence of God flowing through you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ living through you in the place where you are. And do you know what? Anything is possible. You can get a good Ofsted report out of this one. I tell you what. All things are possible. I know, it's a miracle. Morecambe can get 3 points. Praise the Lord. People can be brought back from the brink of death. A flowing river of life, not a stagnant pond. Water that stands still, that goes nowhere, that does nothing, becomes stagnant and starts to stink. The Holy Spirit rising up within us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, yearns to be a river flowing from within us. God wants to be a river, not a dead sea. You know, the River Jordan, this is a geographical fact, this. The River Jordan flows into the Dead Sea, but there are no outlet streams from the Dead Sea. That's why it's so salty. There's a posh word for salty. I don't know what that's, salinated, is it? The river flows in, but there's no outlet streams. And if all we do is come to church and let the river flow in, if all we do is to go to a conference or listen to sermons or go on YouTube and watch Todd White doing his thing, watch it, it's great. Or if all we do is listen to Bethel music, and if all we do is read our scriptures and have our quiet times and actually never give anything out, never decide we're going to step out in boldness and share the gospel with anybody, do anything of anything remarkable in terms of ministry, but all we're going to do is just soak in God, then we become not a river but a dead sea. God wants a river. God wants a river where everything will live. The resurrection didn't just demonstrate the ability of Almighty God to raise us to life, but was a demonstration of what the Holy Spirit wants to continue to do as we co-labor with Christ and bring in a message to everyone around us. You know, when Peter was there and all the disciples in that upper room and the Holy Spirit fell upon him, I mean, it must have felt great, mustn't it? Just that, wow, here comes the Holy Spirit. It's falling on me. And did Peter say, oh, this feels good. Let's get some more. Let's just stay here in the presence of God. And it says, no, this man who had been afraid and hiding away got up in front of thousands in Jerusalem. And it says, he preached the gospel and 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000! I mean, I believe that God wants to increase us as a church. And my hope is for us to get to 100 by next year. 3,000! I'd stop at that. 3,000. But he doesn't stop. He carries on praying. He carries on giving out because he's got the Holy Spirit. It says quite clearly, Jesus said, wait for my Holy Spirit and you'll be my witnesses. So they prayed more and more were added to their number for healing. I don't know if any of you know N.T. Wright. If you want to Google N.T. Wright, he's a great guy. I like N.T. Wright. And he's a theologian and minister. And he says this, the resurrection of Jesus is the launching pad for the hope, not only of us, but of the world. Not only of us, but of the world. We are called to be a people, not just a people of consumption, but of proclamation, demonstration, leading to celebration of the reality of God's kingdom. Not just consumption, proclamation and demonstration, because that will lead to celebration. And the most powerful resurrection message is this. You think it's all over, and it's not. You may think it's all over in your life, and it isn't. God wants to bring resurrection to you, because he hasn't finished with you. He hasn't finished with what he wants to do with you and through you. Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That was the cry of Paul. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He didn't just say, I want to know Christ and his resurrection. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And you may have disappointment in your life. But God wants to bring reappointment. And I've got an increasing desire to reach out for the impossible, to live with more of him in my life, to pray more for others, to witness more, to love more, to lead more, to be a better husband. I was just confessing all the times this morning when I haven't. It's a good thing to confess. Confessing the times when I've just been critical of Adrienne. Husbands, it's so easy to slip into that. Wives sometimes can even do that. But I'm not going there. But I just needed to repent of that. I love the prayer of Jesus, on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder what it's like in heaven. Are we just hanging around waiting to die and then get there and celebrate? Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven. What did he mean? Have you ever heard the phrase that someone is too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use? Anybody heard? It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Because I know the more heavenly minded I am, then the more earthly use I am. I'll tell you what is true. Those who are too earthly minded to be of any heavenly use. And at our leaders' meeting on Monday, I apologized to our leaders, and they're lovely. You know, they say, oh, you don't need to apologize, mate. But they are lovely. And our leadership team is awesome. But I apologize. I felt I needed to say, look, and I apologize to you because, you know, I've been through a period in my life when I have been so earthly minded to be of no heavenly use. And you may say, Mike, don't be daft, Mike. You're lovely, aren't you? You did your best. You had Ofsted, you had your dad. You know, you had that thing that was bloating your stomach. And we make excuses for each other, don't we? And that's okay. And that's great. I receive your love. But I know what God said to me. I've been too earthly minded to be of any heavenly use, and things just swallow you up and overwhelm you. I'm in a good place now, you know. And I want to give, like Sam did, praise to God that we are products, as Adrian said the other week, we are products of grace and of mercy and of love and of his kindness. The Bible says that his kindness leads us to repentance. His kindness, his kindness. Because some of us have lived with so much unkindness, and we think God is like that too. I desire a resurrected prayer time, resurrected Bible reading, resurrected witnessing, resurrected healing, resurrected character, resurrection in my workplace, in my relationships, in our neighborhood, in our church. The resurrection of Christ declared to the world that God is the great I am. Not the great I was, nor the great I will be, but the great I am. And in Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came to restore that which was lost. What have you lost? Is it your confidence? Is it your health? Have you lost your intimacy and your walk with God? Have you got into stuff where you have lost your dignity and your freedom from shame? Have you lost your sense of purpose? Have you lost your belief that God can use you? Are we more convinced of our unworthiness than we are of his worth? Are we more convinced of our inability than of his power? Are we more convinced of our limitations than his limitlessness? Are we in danger of getting more wrapped up in who we are not than in who he is? The resurrection is the power of God for our salvation and is a revelation of everything he is now for the whole world. And the final verse is this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Now him, to him who is able to do, I love the next word. Oh yeah. Immeasurably. You can't measure it. All right? It's limitless. Okay? So now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I can imagine a lot of stuff, me. Are you good at imagining stuff? I can imagine a whole lorry load of stuff. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory. Amen. 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 I'm going to wonder, is that Andrew? Could you? He's so good on your guitar. Don't you love Andrew's guitar? I just love Andrew's guitar. Love Andrew. We love Andrew, and we love Andrew's guitar. And when they come together, awesome. Father God, Jesus. Because do you know what? Before we have our cakes and our chocolate, and before we have our cups of tea and our coffee, and before we love on each other, I just want to give an opportunity for people to respond right now. And sometimes just coming out here to the front here, that public thing is powerful in itself. You're not coming out to me, you're not coming out to Dave, Adrian, or anybody. You're coming out to God. And I believe there's some people that God wants to bring out this morning. I believe that God wants to bring out people who feel that they have lost something. You've lost something. You've lost something of God, something in God. And, you know, I don't know what it is that you've lost, whether it's your confidence to share the gospel and you need that boldness back. Maybe you have lost something of your physical health. And I'm just going to step out in this because it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong, but I felt God just saying that there's somebody here with pain on their foot there. You know, behind the toes, at the front bit of their foot there. Not the heel, not the arch, but the... What's that called? I don't know. I'm not... Andy probably knows what that's called. The ball? Is it the... Yeah? Yeah, that bit. On your left foot. And so if that's you, God is wanting you to come out for that to be prayed for. But maybe like Mary's mum next week, that's just simply a call for you to come to get a bit more than that. Yeah? I think there's somebody here with something in the nape of their neck there. Just that bit there. Is that the nape? I need you a biology lesson. There. Anyway. And I don't know what's causing that, whether it's stress or what it might be, but God wants to heal you of that, to set you free, because it's causing you so much loss of energy in your life. And God wants to heal you of that. But you know what? I think what God wants to do is just do something whole in somebody, in one or two people. So we're going to invite people to come out, and the worship team are going to also be coming.